Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. And when you get there, I hope you'll subscribe to my free newsletter. It comes every week, and we're in the middle of our series on New Year resolutions for small businesses, the 2005 resolutions. And these are the fundamentals that I believe if you and I will focus on them, if you and I will pay attention to the fundamentals that I talk about in these resolutions over the last 3 weeks and the next 3 or 4 weeks, I think you'll have a lot better opportunity to be a lot better possibility of being successful in a small business. And remember, folks, these things that I'm, you know, I didn't invent these fundamentals. I'm just reminding you about them. I'm not that smart. I mean, somebody came along long before me and said, these are good things to do. And I'm just the one who's out here, you know, for shouting from the rooftops, you know, we need to do this. We need to do this more. And I really also try to focus on things that I think maybe you don't always see. Some of these things I talk about are things that might not be quite on your radar screen all the time. And although the one we're going to talk about today might be a little bit. And by the way, getting back to the newsletter, if you want the issues that have gone before, if you're just a new subscriber and you want the issues that have gone before, there are about three of them, I think. Four, actually, counting this week. But you'll get that one. So ask for the other three, and we'll send them to you. We'll be glad to do that. And that's all free, thanks to our outstanding sponsors. Okay, resolution number 9. These are still management resolutions. I resolve to become a better negotiator while continuing to negotiate in good faith. Now, you'll understand what I mean by that last part in just a minute. I want to remind you about an old adage in poker circles. Many of you may know this. You may have heard of this before. When you're sitting, here's the adage. When you're sitting at a poker table, if you don't know who the mullet is, you're the mullet. And a mullet, in this case, is the one who leaves the game without his or her money and without a clue as to what happened. So if you're sitting there, you don't know who the mullet is, it's you. And what that basically means is this is a person who's participating in a game or whatever you want to call it, and they really are unarmed. They're not armed with the same tools, the same knowledge, the same skills as the other people at the table. And it's possible not to, I don't want to compare a negotiating table with a poker table, but there is a little bit of, there isn't a correlation there when it comes to who's the mullet. Every participant in the marketplace, that's you, has to strive to become an effective negotiator. But it's especially important for small business owners. And the best way to accomplish this goal is to study negotiating methods, study negotiating tactics and behavior, and practice those by negotiating early and often. But you also, one of the most important things to negotiating, learning to be a better negotiator, is to pay attention to what's going around you in the negotiation that you're in. That's one of the best ways to find to make sure that you're not the mullet. Okay, being a good negotiator doesn't mean that the other person has to lose. And that's something that I really want to get across. I think that's very important. The best negotiations are the ones where common ground is found between the negotiating parties. And the straightest line to the common ground is when the parties are dealing in good faith. And that's what I was talking about a minute ago. And this is where you behave consistently and honor the spirit of an agreement, even when you don't have to. Now, let me give you an example of what dealing in good faith would look like. Let's say that you and I have negotiated really hard for a long time. We've been working on this project where I'm buying your business, you're buying mine, or where whatever it might be. And we've gotten along just fine, but you've been a tough negotiator, I've been a tough negotiator. I fought hard for my points, you fought hard for your points. We came up something that we could agree to. And we put it on paper. We wrote it down and we signed it. And then afterwards, it was discovered that something that you wanted and I agreed to through just a typographical error, through just an accidental omission, or whatever might have happened, something that you wanted and I agreed to got left out. It was just overlooked. You overlooked it. You feel stupid because you overlooked it. It wasn't my job to keep up with your stuff. But we both signed a contract. We settled on the deal. And because it was left out, it's a better deal for me. If I'm dealing in good faith, I'm going to say to you, you know what? I agreed to that. And I thought it was in the contract. Let's get it in there. That is one example of dealing in good faith. And what I want to say about negotiating is, one of the things I want to say about this is that I try to do business with people like that. And I try to stay away from people when I discover that they're not dealing in good faith. Because if someone is not dealing in good faith, if they're not negotiating with you in good faith, then what that means is there's always a gotcha out there waiting on you with these people. There's always, you never exactly know where they are. There's always something that you have to not only keep up with what you're saying, but you also have to keep up with what they're saying. Because you might say, well, isn't that somebody who's dishonest? Well, in negotiating, it might not be. It might just be that they're not dealing in good faith. They might not actually lie to you. They just might not, and it's not their job to help you out, to help you be a better negotiator. It's just that you can't, it's like a moving target. And so you learn, don't be naive. That's one of the most important things that you should say. Back to the mullet example, you know, a mullet's the naive one. You don't want to be a mullet. You don't want to be naive about things. And so you got to realize that people will take advantage of you. And so the way to keep people from taking advantage of you is become a better negotiator. And there are tactics, there are steps, there are tools, there are specific things that you can learn about human behavior, about negotiating tactics. There's a book, Ron Zimke, I'll think of the guy's name in a minute, who wrote a book on negotiating called The Negotiation Toolkit. And I'll try to find that when we take the break here in a minute. I'll try to find, I've lost the name of the guy who wrote it. He's a member of our brain trust. But it's called The Negotiation Toolkit. It's an excellent book to learn how to negotiate. And it's okay to be a tough negotiator. You should do your homework and conduct thorough due diligence. Absolutely fight for the best deal. But none of this precludes you from behaving consistently and dealing in good faith. It's 20 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back with resolution number 11. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I want to talk about resolution number 11, and this is one that I really hope you'll take to heart because it is one of the most important perspectives, one of the most important things that you can think about in terms of managing your business. And guess what? It's the newbie. It's the new kid on the block. It's the one that basically kind of didn't exist for you and me, say, 10 years ago. In fact, it wasn't even a big deal on anybody's radar screen even 5 years ago for small business. It was becoming more and more a big deal for larger businesses. It has been for them over the last 20 or 30 years or so. But for you and me, for small businesses, it's really something that's come very much to the forefront in the last 5 years, and primarily since we quit thinking of the internet as a toy, and we realized it's one heck of a tool. And here it is, management resolution number 11. I resolve to recognize and value the intellectual property my business owns as much as I do the hard assets. All right, I'm going to remind you of something you probably heard me say before. In a report that Kenneth Crossan put together called Management of IP Assets. He stated that in 1978, folks, this is very important research that I want you to pay attention to. I know research makes your eyes glaze over, but this is good stuff. In 1978, 80% of corporate assets were tangible. Now that's, you know, less than 30 years ago. The 80% of corporate assets were tangible. These are things you could kick and paint and move and carry and stack. These was buildings, equipment, rolling stock, inventory, things like that. And the rest of the inventory, the other 20%, was in the form of intangible assets, which we also you could call intellectual assets, like patents and systems that have been developed to help the operation move better, and documentation as well, forms and things like that, software, those kinds of things. Those are intangible assets, things that you can't paint, that you typically, you know, other than maybe a form or something, these are things that are in your, that ideas that you've come up with of better ways to do things. But then as cogs gave way to computers and motors were replaced by megabytes, Crossan's report showed that by 1997, the relative value of tangible to intangible assets had essentially reversed, and corporate intangible assets that used to be 20% of the total assets of a company were now 73%, and the other 27 were tangible. Virtual inversion of the asset ratio between tangible and intangible. Now, I want you to stop for a moment and just look around your business sometime today. Look around your business and think about how much more of your, and I don't want you to look at your balance sheet, because for you and me, it's harder to find these intangibles on our balance sheet because we're not as likely to have a patent that we've been able to come up with a value for. We're less likely to have things that jump off the page of our balance sheet. And this is one of the things that I'm actually concerned about in the future. That's another story. I'll talk about that another day. But I want you just to look around your building, look around your business, and I want you to think about the ways that you leverage your entrepreneurial dream, the ways that you touch customers, the ways that you convert something into business. And see if you don't agree that more of what you're doing these days is about things that are in your computer or in a device that you've come up with that you bought. Maybe your BlackBerry. It might be a BlackBerry. It might be a computer program that you have. Or you might be selling things that you don't even touch. You don't even hold on to. You do the business electronically and somebody else delivers the product. Look around your business, and I think you'll see that maybe it won't be 80-20, 80 intellectual, intangible, 20 fixed hard assets. Maybe it won't be that much, but it'll be a lot more than it was 10 years ago, a lot more than it was 20 years ago. And here's the thing. I don't care whether you're 80-20 or not. What I want you to see is the trend. I want you to see the motion, the direction that you're going in. And I want you to think about as you're building strategy for your business, as you're hiring people, as you're capitalizing your business, as you're thinking about talking to your customers and solving your customers' problems and meeting their needs and competing with your competitors and dealing with the global economy. I want you to think more intellectual property and less hard assets. I want you to think about solving these challenges and taking advantage of these opportunities more with intellectual property and less with hard assets. And I think if in my career doing what I'm doing right now, I can get you to do what I just said, I promise you, I will feel that my work here has been worthwhile, because that's the 20th century. I just described to you a huge, huge part of the 21st century economy, the 21st century marketplace, 21st century small business. Think about it. And while we take this break, it's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back with Mr. Bill Dunkelberg, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, I should say. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. Here's Little Richard to take us out.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.